So today we're going to tackle what I would say is a little bit more difficult topic, and that is around funding and capital. And the reason that I say that is, as a clinician, it is not squarely in my comfort zone. And I'm guessing for surgeons out there, it may not be in your comfort zone either. And I think as clinicians and providers, we're used to being the experts. Our patients, our families, and our communities, they look to us for our expertise. And this topic, funding and capital, likely isn't squarely in our expertise, but it's a topic that's unavoidable. We've been on this journey and helping you as surgeons think about investing in real estate and in ASCs, and you have to have funding and capital. So my guest today is Michael Ray. Michael is Chief Investment Officer, and Michael is an expert at telling the story, the vision that you have for your participation in medical real estate and ASCs, and finding the funding sources and making it understandable to you as a provider. So I'm really pleased today to welcome Michael Ray to the podcast here. And Michael, we've been on a bit of a journey here talking about what matters to surgeons and the macroeconomic shifts that are switching. So Michael joins me as the Chief Investment Officer for NextCor. And I go to Michael to make complex financial situations, verbiage, context simple for a clinician.
Or simply as we can, right?
There we go. Yeah. You have a gift of bringing complex to understandable. And I know that's what our surgeons are looking for, is some advice and help about how to finance investment into real estate or an ambulatory surgery center. So welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Carolyn. I am super stoked to be here. This is something I've been looking forward to ever since you asked me. So thank you for having me.
I appreciate that. How did you find yourself here? Did you think about being an investment officer, or how'd you get to do what you're doing?
No, it's not so much happenstance, just sort of, you know, natural gravitation towards the thing. I've always been fascinated by structure and the complexity of, you know, putting things together. And in fact, I'll just borrow your phrase and your very sort of kind assessment of me. For whatever reason, I gravitate towards hard things.
Right.
And find great personal joy and intellectual stimulation in doing exactly as you said, taking something very complex, breaking it into its constituent parts, and trying to simplify it as easy as possible. So that's probably the shortest way in which to get you the answer to the question you asked.
I think it's helpful for the surgeons that are listening to understand a little bit about that background
And
where your comments are coming from.
Right. Okay.
So I've had the opportunity to hear you work with surgeons across the country, surgeons in different situations, some that are in large groups wanting to think about a building and an ASC on their own, others that are working with hospitals and health systems in a variety of ranges. And I think it would be really helpful for the surgeons to hear from you that, if you will, continuum of options as they think about their future steps.
Yeah. You know, and I think the key word in how you frame that is options, because I think that's the baseline at which any sort of surgeon that's going through this analysis needs to start, because there, you know, there's no one project that is like the other. I mean, you know, by its very nature, you know, these are buildings, these are physical environments, these are service environments that are going to vary by market, by practice, by all sorts of things. So there isn't necessarily a one size fits all approach. So that optionality and understanding that you don't need to necessarily be painted into a box is a very good place to start. So when you think about, okay, well, what are those options? Right. I think the most obvious to start with is many surgeons and groups of surgeons may already have land ownership.
Right.
They may already have acquired a site or to that. And so by that, they already have some you know, skin in the game or some sort of asset. Chip in which they can play. Correct. It's an asset to which, you know, they bring a potential value creation mechanism to bear.
To a deal. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, how can I utilize that to either find my place in or facilitate my opportunity? You know, whether it's a ground lease, whether it's an outright sale to a common sort of development venture, and then how does it sort of fit in? Because it may just be that the financial value attributable and associated with that land value is sufficient to satisfy an equity contribution to a deal. You can cap it there. And then by virtue of that land value, meaning there's no additional out-of-pocket capital that comes to play here, they can satisfy that requirement and have a piece of that deal and the upside associated with that deal.
Sure.
So that's a not too that's uncommon
one end of way the deal, to do it. Right? An entrepreneurial surgeon who has land has really had the forethought to think about where they want to go.
And then another common scenario that we often run into is an individual surgeon or physician group that it has been brought into a syndicate. Sort of an ASC syndicate where there is third-party ownership. So it obviates the challenges and the restrictions associated with START compliance, which opens up a panoply of ways in which the surgeons can participate. That's where I think it's really important then to dial in and understand that risk continuum. Because, sure. Again, not every building is created equally, not every investment opportunity is the same either. It comes with, an array of options and, you know, obligations and requirements, as well as the sort of rewards associated with that. So understanding where you want to fall on that risk continuum, you know, makes a lot of sense as well.
So as I talk to surgeons regularly, there are some that know exactly where they want to go, or mm-hmm. think they know mm-hmm. where they want to go in terms of the deal structure, ownership. I think control is something surgeons really seek, right? And there are others that are on a journey. What kinds of questions would you ask surgeons to help them get better clarity around their vision? I really appreciate your comment that they have a lot of options.
Yeah,
I think that is wonderful. And can also be a little bit anxiety provoking, right? Do you have some probing questions that surgeons should think about to help them clarify their outcomes and vision?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll start, and it's great because, you know, frankly, I do feel like we're having one of our conversations, and so I get excited when we get to this point, because, like, first and foremost, certainly when we are part of these deals, our number one objective is to seek that understanding.
Absolutely.
Right? It's how, like, what is the outcome? What is the objective mm-hmm. that you're seeking to accomplish? Because that is what our objective is. We Absolutely. Want to make sure that we're facilitating that outcome. And to your point, those probing questions are it's the gateway to being able to devise that structure to facilitate the outcome. So you hit on a couple of key buzzwords. Control.
Absolutely.
How important is that? What does that mean? Does that mean you are controlling the ultimate outcome? Meaning I'm going to seed the development process and sort of the vertical aspect and the complexity associated with how that gets financed, how that gets executed. I'm going to cede that to the subject matter experts, mm-hmm. but my control focus, my control outcome is more about the ultimate ownership and long-term ownership of that. So that's one kind of control. The other kind of control, or another type of control, is I want to have influence and say at every point along the process. It's not necessarily a non-starter, but that brings with it, right? Now we're squarely on that continuum, right? Because that necessitates an entirely different conversation, because when you think about the capital sources that are required to create that that built environment, they are going to be looking to very specific things like recourse. And that's recourse both in terms of loan repayment. It's recourse in the form of sort of completion of construction. It's looking at the level of experience and sophistication of the parties. There's all sorts of, you know, aspects that go into the totality of the story that makes a project financeable. And there are certainly some individuals and some groups that are well equipped to sort of ride that train. But then there are others that is nothing more than a distraction.
Right.
And so those are kind of the probing questions. Like, help me really understand. What do you mean by control? What do you mean by participation? What do you mean by sort of equity?
Yeah, because control can't even come through the management, right? I think some surgeons really want to manage the experience. They want to know that they can get throughput and the patient experience is excellent. They can get home earlier. Whereas by others, control means they want the entirety of the project, to your point.
Exactly. It's a very relative discussion. And, you know, I think we're uniquely situated to understand that continuum and really help that individual or that group kind of reconcile where they are. Because sometimes there's competing interests within a sort of a larger group. So you can get to that point to say like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is where you need to be.
Help me a little bit more then around the risk that we were talking about. So, you know, in thinking through some groups, for example, that want to do it all, they have land potentially, they want to build it. It's maybe single or multi-specialty, but it's within a group, right? In that scenario, they're taking risk for budget overruns for the entirety of the project, if I understand this correctly.
That's right.
Help me with alternatives
and
working with
leasing risk as well.
Thank you.
Right. So if you're just individually part of an ASC syndicate and then you have maybe your own sort of, you know, office space or clinic space, but then there's maybe risk associated with the other tenants that may sort of round out the balance of the tenancy. So, you know, from a fundamental financeability perspective, that's one of the things that you know, we seek to understand from the jump is that tenant mix financeable as a whole, notwithstanding the fact that you can do it there. So again, that's just another sort of variable that gets inserted into the process that's also critical to understand.
So let's talk about maybe further along the continuum for some surgeons who this may be new, I think geographically and in different scenarios, or young surgeons, this is early experience where they're carrying some debt. And risk is a real concern for them. And they quite frankly, they want more control and they want to dip their toe in, but not necessarily take all of the risk. You've referenced working with developers and other options. Tell me about the difference in that scenario.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I say fairly regularly is words matter.
Absolutely.
And so control, again, can mean lots of different things. So in the instances where I've had conversations with, you know, that profile of young surgeon or sort of any individual that sort of finds themselves in not necessarily a risk off position, but just risk averse, it's getting to a point where you realize that desire for control is really more about influence and insight and participation. And so that's where I come bearing good news in the sense of there are more risk averse ways in which to get on the proverbial ladder, right? And they can be in the form of participatory interests and things like that. Again, it's going to come down to a very individual project specific analysis and things like that. But there are options and alternatives that can significantly reduce risk. Another is to allow the development party or the developer party to complete that construction. So essentially to de-risk all of the things we just talked about on that construction continuum and then come into the sort of completed portion, if you will.
How interesting. So enter with their investment later.
Correct.
At completion, maybe.
Exactly. And so that you've taken that, you know, development risk completely off the table so that on a go forward basis, it's just sort of your ordinary I call it ordinary course risk with respect to real estate ownership.
More like they do in their home.
That's right. I was going to say home ownership, but yeah. I didn't want to.
I think that's helpful to make it more real.
Right.
So as we think through financing these, mm-hmm. part of it is oftentimes, right, surgeons writing a check, almost never fully funding their entire. What capital sources do you see in this area for MOBs and ASCs that our surgeons should be aware of?
I think it's maybe first starts with trying to make an assessment as to what the highest and best use of their capital is. You know, they need to fund operations. They need to fund their own growth. They need to be able to maintain adequate reserves for what they may or may not want to do on a personal basis and things like that. Mm-hmm. So part of that analysis is that investment in the project the highest and best use of this particular sort of capital that I have? Because there may be a TI funding requirement, all those Absolutely. Kinds of things. So, so that's kind of like the first step. Then in terms of capital sources that they might look to.
Yeah. Or that we would.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's a combination. I mean, it's most of these deals are financed, with a combination of debt and equity. Okay. So from the debt side, you know, we look to a combination of community and regional banks for a certain type of profile mm-hmm. of medical facility. Other types of medical facilities that, you know, skew towards the larger, in projects of greater size and scale, that's where we'll bring in your tier ones. On the equity side, again, it can vary. It's a combination of family office and high net worth individuals. To your sort of big institutional players, many of whom, you know, over the last 10 years have been gravitating towards the space as the fundamentals of the asset class continue to demonstrate themselves as both cycle resilient, but also capable of generating superior risk-adjusted returns.
Another one of the trends that we've been talking about, that capital Correct. Partners are really interested in the sector.
Correct.
You've touched a few minutes ago about what makes the profile of the physician or the group or the project more interesting to those capital partners. Can you comment a little bit further as our surgeons listening think about making themselves positive in terms of the project to capital partners? What does that look like?
Yeah, no, it's a great question because that in its essence is the art. Mm-hmm. Because like all things in life, it's all about the story. If the narrative is one that someone can get behind, and the someone in this instance is that sort of Sure. party providing the financing, whether it's on the debt or the equity side, you know, the technical aspects of it, you know, kind of just naturally follow. I guess it's a different way of saying that you can have all of the financial acumen in the world and show up with mounds of spreadsheets and sophisticated financial models. But the most important part of it is the story behind it. Is the practice in good sort of financial mm-hmm. order? What is the business plan?
Right
what
back is to the, where we started.
Yes.
The goal, the vision, the why.
Exactly, because that's the biggest part of the story. And by understanding that, yes, bring your financial expertise, bring your financial curiosity and Sure. all of that. But by focusing on the softer side of it, you're immediately demonstrating and frankly establishing the credibility that you understand the drivers behind a successful, financeable sort of project. So that's what we do. And I mean, frankly, we spend a lot of our time doing that. Well, the first question is, what's the credit?
Sure.
And then the second is, what's the business plan? How has the practice been operating? What is its prospects for growth? What are you looking to do? Which, frankly, taps into your point, to that passion component of these surgeons and their groups.
So I think in wrapping up, hearing your advice to us, it's really clarity early on about the why. In creating that story and ensuring that we're aligning the incentives of our physicians and our investors to ensure long-term success.
That's right. And you underline, bold, and sort of double score the alignment point. I mean, it's you know, from incentives to the financial side, like the 360 degrees of that transaction, just it requires holistic alignment.
You helped bring us from complex financial topics to understandable next steps.
I certainly tried, and I hope we could help.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Carolyn.
So that conversation that we just had, Michael and I, about funding and capital, as I mentioned at the beginning, may not feel as exciting, maybe, or as passionate as when we talk about patients and the vision that we have. But again, it's an important topic that is unavoidable on this journey. And I hope that we've left you with some key points and takeaways. And as part of the Ready Room, I'm gonna try to distill those into just a few points for you. First, you don't have to be an economist or a financier or an expert here to take the next step. You do want to partner with experts that really can ask you probing questions about the outcomes that you're looking for in your investment to ensure that you can align the financing and the capital to achieve your outcomes. Secondly, there are options, many, many options. And I'm going to argue that that's really positive for you. It is not a one-size-fits-all financing solution. I do understand that that could also be a bit anxiety-provoking, but look at it as an opportunity and look for answers and experts that can guide you along the way. And third, these decisions matter. The right capital plan, the right financial plan is gonna lead to the long-term financial sustainability for your project that is critically important. Thank you very much.